Welcome back, WNST, Taos of Baltimore and Baltimore Positive. We are positively into the football season in the fall and into the Maryland Crab Cake Tour. We're going to be back out at Cooper's North on Friday, and then we're moving to some familiar places a little later on next month. We're going to be doing it on Fridays from 2 until 5. It's all brought to you by the Maryland Lottery. I got some Ravens scratch-offs to give away this Friday, as well as our friends at Goodwill. I'm wearing my Window Nation gear. And, of course, it is Restaurant Week in the Maryland Restaurant Association, encouraging you to get out and dine. This guy dines with me from time to time. I don't know if he's going to make it to Cooper's on Friday, but I'm sure we'll see him at some point during the Maryland Crab Cake Tour. He is our roofing guy, my official consigliere here at WNSD. And Cole Roofing, he's Bill Cole of and not City Bill Cole, that's Roofing Bill Cole, just to make sure we delineate, because I'll have the other Bill Cole on talking about the city soon. What's going on, man? How are lives in roofs and football and childhood, getting kids back to school? How many nights a week do you and your family eat dinner at home these days? Is it less or more than summertime?
Oh, dinner at home? One, maybe.
Right, because you got kids, right?
Right.
Right, right.
Soccer practice.
School time? It's not normal for you? No?
It's been pretty crazy. There's definitely this, transition and everyone trying to reacclimate with the world as we want it to be now. And it's when there wasn't anything to do, youth sports outdoors was available. So that was the only thing we did. And then as things come back, the first thing you notice is like, how come half the team isn't here tonight? And it's like, oh, they're on vacation. So then everybody went on vacation like all the time. And now we're in this place where people went on their vacations. They may or may not be going back to the office now, which for some people just started, which is,
well, I thought my office was in Foxborough on Sunday, but apparently it's not. So right. Yes, I'm not going back to my office either.
Right. So, it just remains just another transition, and it's going to get chillier this week, and that'll be a reminder. And
I have nice fall clothes. Yeah, I have nice shirts and like sport coat. I've never worn. I've been to one Accelerant in 3 years with you, right? Because we haven't had Accelerants. So even like my nice clothes, I haven't had a chance to wear. I got all these great belt buckles. I'm ready to like get out of sweatpants and get out of shorts. I really am. I'm ready to get back and do this thing full time and get back to regular life. I think one regular life thing is football, though, for me, and having it taken away from me, not just my mental health and sort of my circadian rhythms and all of that. But there is a point for everyone going back to football games. And I noticed this last weekend for those who do go to games, seeing old friends, taking on, old habits in certain ways that really, it'll be the story of our lives, right? We thought the story of our lives was 9/11 at the time, right? Or, then this plague happens. The reacclimation for all of it. I mean, I see the New York Times, my people, journalists, trying to get their reporters to go back to the newsroom, and the reporters had a newsroom strike and said, we're not coming back to the office. So I don't know how that works at Cole Roofing or how that works at, General Electric or Verizon or, wherever the plant happens to be, or Amazon or whatever is modern these days. Right. But the notion of going back to work and all of that and going back to doing normal things, there's certain things that can feel normal, like going back to a football game and parking in your old spot. But even when you drive into the city, it doesn't feel the way it used to feel. So I think we're all searching for something normal psychologically on the backside of this, of all of this, and wondering what the new normal is. And we're trying to figure that out. I think as a society, as a planet, probably.
Yeah. And I think this is, this is probably the even harder than the rip the Band-Aid off transition that occurred when they told everyone to go home and stop doing this. Like that was hard, but mostly the plan was well defined. Like, go home, don't do this, don't do that, avoid crowds, wear a mask. You know what I mean? Like that. They were
now half the world's wearing a mask, half the world's not. Right? Half the world gets up on me and wants to hug me, and I'm like, stop, back up. just give me 6 feet.
Yeah. Now it's no one's telling people what they're supposed to do. They have to think for themselves, and they have to make their own decisions, and they have to decide
right.
Well, not only what they want to do, but how they want to interact with other people, and you know, they were behind a screen for 2 years and now they have to go back out and actually be in the same room with other people. And yeah, I mean, from a work standpoint, like we kind of have a happy medium hybrid thing going on. And I mean, we're still small enough that I could just have a discussion with the person and try and understand where they're coming from, and they hear me. And some people are okay if they sit in their basement and do work and don't interact with other people and maybe don't grow or don't learn, and they just want to do their job. And
I thought I was more productive that way, quite frankly. You know, I mean, I think during the plague, as a work productivity, I have been more productive.
Yeah.
Because I am focused and I don't get lost on television or like even lost in books the way I used to. But focusing and figuring out when it's time to work, it does feel like we work all the time to some degree when you work at home, right? Like that's probably the weirdest part of working at home, is that there's an availability to the desk and the office and the internet that allows you to never turn it off. I never turn it off. I'm up at 3 a.m. working. You know this about me. It's what I do. It's who I am, which is probably why I took real umbrage when the Ravens senior vice president was calling me lazy. So I didn't like that very much. So, but from a work standpoint, you can workaholic it too. And I certainly have felt that way.
Yeah. I mean, I think the question that we haven't been able to, and I don't know how you prove it, but there is 100% efficiency around no distractions, you know, being at home working, assuming that the children went to school and your spouse has their gig and you took the time to like set up a good workstation and you're not at the kitchen table, you know. So in the right environment, I definitely think it can be more efficient. What we don't have a measure for is the lack of knowledge transfer, you know, and the learning from the others and the creativity that comes out of like groupthink. Or, I mean, this is what happens in our office. Like you'll hear two people having a conversation in the hallway or in their office. And like, it's like, wait, whoa, hold on. And you got to get up out of your chair and you go, no, I've been through that before. That's not okay. You can't do that. Well, what do you mean? And
that's how you learn.
And that would never occur. You know, maybe technology continues to develop and advance and change and whatever. And we use Teams, and, you know, some of our people use like the chat function on Teams, and email is a disaster, and, you know, the cloud and all your stuff's all around. I mean, it's, we have to learn how to operate with all these tools, you know. I mean, it's, so the spoken language of common, you know, space, us being together, is really important. And I don't think we have a good way of measuring, because that's the counter argument for those who want to stay home, is like, yeah, but boss, I'm so much more efficient. Like, yeah, but you're never going to be more than what you are right now. Like, how are you going to understand why it's hard to do that kind of roofing if you're not actually engaging with someone who's doing that kind of roofing, right? So I don't know.
It's collaboration, man.
Yeah.
Bringing people together. Bill Cole's here. He is Cole Roofing. I have some Rofo coffee in my Cole Roofing mug. I'm partial. This is like my binky, man. When they took this away when I moved and I couldn't find my mug for a month or two, I was a little freaked out. Bill gave me one of those mugs that I knocked over all over my desk. So I do appreciate the original mug. Anything you want to say about the football team? And I mean, that's our original charge in our relationship, is that we watch games 16 Sundays, 17 now, 18 or 19 if we get lucky, and there's no preseason that's worth watching at this point. You know, two games into this thing, it is fascinating to me, just on the drama of all of it, how long 6.5 days can last after a win or a loss, and how good or bad you can be, and how when the season starts, how apparent it is to me how few people really pay attention, and they just zoom in, see the score, yell at the offensive coordinator, move along, whatever. But Sunday was epically memorable, right, in a lot of ways. I mean, a lot of people went down. It was the home opener. Historic collapse, lots of lessons to be learned, and really questioning of the team. All, you know, this week is, you know, they were really smelling good at 3:30 when they had a 3-touchdown lead. I mean, there were no questions about the organization then. It's amazing that 10 minutes later, the sky is falling, and I'm used to that, having done this for 26 years. But the notion of taking phone calls after that game on Sunday back in 2004, if that would have happened to Billick, oh my God. You know, there's just a different temperature for football here. People don't take it as seriously. Even when a real journalist gets thrown out, they don't, nobody takes it all that seriously with the purple flamingos. I even see Purple Friday is not what it was from a, all flags in the city are going to be half, right, half masked on Monday after we lose a game like Sunday. It doesn't hurt as much as it used to hurt when they lose.
I mean, from where we were talking about collaboration and all that, I mean, I think there is a larger civic community connecting point that the stadium is, and it's different than it ever was. And I'm not sure that all the parties that used to group together at the stadium are the same groups that used to, you know, I think that those demographics have changed.
That's all changed. I can give you just in section 513, and it had nothing to do with me getting thrown out one way or another, but the people behind us changed dramatically in the last 10 years, dramatically, as you would expect. Hey man, if you went to church 26 years ago in 1996, everybody loves their church. It's just their community. It's where they are. You go back 26 years later, there's different people in the pews.
Sure. Sure. So, I mean, I think that is part of the connectivity of the city that, you know, it's good to get that back. We'll foster that spirit. It's always good when they're winning, more people come and all that. I will take credit only to myself because I watched the game by myself, but like, I never got comfortable with the game. Like, it never felt comfortable to me.
Oh, it felt real comfortable when Lamar broke the line of scrimmage and went 79 yards and it's three touchdowns. And that's lights out Miami for me.
I guess I've had Tyreek Hill on my fantasy teams before and I know that guy. He is a son of a gun, man. Like he will go super quiet for three quarters and then drop 150 yards and two touchdowns and, you know, three touchdowns in the fourth quarter on somebody. Like, that guy does that. And I don't know if it's because people get tired. You know, he's just kind of like resting up.
I saw that in the fourth quarter Sunday. The Ravens got tired. The Ravens got overmatched. The Ravens got fatigued. And then they were on the field too much. And Miami was thriving after practicing down there in 94 degrees every day.
I definitely think the heat got to us. I mean, I don't know how much of a sideline studier. Like, they never show Tyreek Hill on the sidelines looking at the computer, you know. But, like, I mean, is that part of the deal? The guy's been around. He's a smart player. Between the offensive coordinator and I'm sure they have some kind of passing game consultant and the quarterback consultant and all
I'm
that.
I'm sure, you know, that Tua Tagovailoa and Tyreek Hill and just Mike McDonald in general looked at the secondary of the Ravens and saw that Marlon Humphrey wasn't on the field, saw there would be confusion, said, who's that number 22? Demarion, right. What's his name? Who's that guy? Like Billick said back 20 years, let's go pick on that little cornerback. Let's go after him for a while. And let's see, we're down three touchdowns. We're going to throw the ball anyway. We have the best receivers. We have the best athletes on the field in both of those guys, Weddle and Tyreek Hill.
Right.
You said you were nervous. I was never nervous. The Ravens don't blow three touchdown leads traditionally at home.
Yeah, I don't know what it was. I mean, I just felt like, I don't know. I was just nervous the whole time. Is there a case? And well, these are things that we never know. But like, you have to understand that you go out in the first quarter and everyone is figuring stuff out, right? They're looking at how you line up against this and how, what success we have on this. And did we have enough blockers when we ran that play? And, oh, look, when we ran this play, that guy was open. Well, we weren't even looking for that guy on that play. Well, we will be the next time we run that play. So that, I mean, there's so many people, so many coaches, so many people working on that now that the game evolves through, you know, through the time. I mean, did we lose because our defensive coordinator didn't adjust as the game went on and figured three touchdowns, we've been stopping them, we're pretty good with this, let's just stay where we are, and never threw a wrinkle at them through the end? I don't know if that's true.
You know,
I don't
the know best part about this, as you're saying this, true. I'm thinking that I should really get inebriated on, you know, something, beer, whiskey, wine, weed, something, and do a whole day where I just do the phone calls from the misobservations of all this. Because I heard a phone call right now. Yeah, that Mike McDonald, we should hire him. He looks like he's smart, and I bet he gave a great halftime speech. Because it must have been a halftime speech. Remember when that? That was part of the vernacular?
No, what was it that, like, Joe Flacco was a terrible quarterback because he never yelled at anybody on the sidelines?
He don't even care.
It don't look like he cares.
Right? Yeah. He ain't even as mad as I am. He don't look like
he cares that he's wearing the green jersey.
By the way, the Flacco thing over the weekend after, he didn't stink last week against the Ravens. They stunk. He throws the ball like Joe Flacco, right? I mean, literally. And then this week they have this incredible comeback win, 50 seconds, Flacco doing Flacco things. But that video of him coming into the locker room, you did see that, right?
Oh,
you
do have the internet. I did not.
You have not seen the video of Joe Flacco celebrating?
No, I'm not. Like, I don't know. I never was really a huge Flacco fan.
You were a Flacco hater, were you?
No, I wasn't a hater, but I didn't have.
He won the Super Bowl here. Do you remember that?
He was Super Bowl MVP, threw 11 touchdowns and zero interceptions in the playoffs that year. Yeah, I got it. I just had to have this argument with somebody the other day about.
Here, I'm gonna share this with you. See, look how happy Joe looks. Look at him. Look at him. Right. Look at how happy he is. See?
Well, that was the entire weekend. So, like, the entire weekend, here's the other one. Like, you go out week one, some teams have success, and then they, this is easy. We'll be all right next week. Who do we got? Oh, yeah, no, we're fine. And then the other half of the teams went out and lost a week one. And they're like, oh, crap, we better get our stuff together. We got a big game next week. And here they go. And, I mean, there was like, I don't know, 5-6 games, maybe more than that, that were all overtime, touchdown.
Listen,
at the end,
my wife and I went over to Nacho Mama's Monday night to watch the doubleheader. The Bills won the Super Bowl on Monday night. I'm convinced of that, right? I mean, like, week two, you kick somebody's ass, you're the Super Bowl champions, right? Sure. And I've been doing this for 26 years here in September. If you're 2-0 and you're that impressive and your quarterback's still upright in week three, you're the champion, you know? It's so early in the year. So many things are going to happen. And Harbaugh was dead on in the postgame and saying that how they respond is going to be the story. The story is going to be how they play in New England this week. The story is going to be how they play against the Super Bowl champion Bills next weekend here, when the Bills are going to bring 25,000 fans down here for that game.
I think I like 4-0 much better than 2-0. Like 4-0, you're definitely winning the Super Bowl.
Oh, right? There's no doubt. Like, the Bills 100%. Win this week and then beat us, we stop the season October 1st.
Right. Well, no, you play to try and make the playoffs, but you know you're not winning the Super Bowl.
The Orioles tried to make the playoffs, almost close.
Yeah, well, you know, there's always next year.
Look, the Ravens are good enough to win, right? I mean, they were up by three touchdowns.
And I think Miami's
that was my point when I wrote a columnist on Sunday. I'm like, look, you could bury the team all you want. You can talk about the comeback, but they had a three touchdown lead. It wasn't not an impressive performance. And certainly the one thing they have going for them right now that we did not have going 2 weeks ago is Lamar Jackson's throwing the ball really well, and he's in shape, and he's seeing the field better than he's seen it. Now, whether they can protect him, whether they get a running game, whether they can bleed out a three touchdown lead by running the football in the fourth quarter, whether the ball keeps going over their head, they have all of those issues, right?
Yep.
Not to mention a crappy PR director, but they have all of that going on. And they lost the game. I don't.
Right. And I think Miami's good.
This at all.
Right. I think Miami is good. Like, those two guys are going to give people fits, every team. Right. I am curious. It felt against the Jets like Lamar was very, this is my call in, my other call in.
Okay. Team, sure.
Right.
Let's go to Bill in Arbutus. Bill, what's on your mind today?
Lamar looked very accurate throwing the ball against the Jets. I was very, very encouraged. Like, that was the most accurate, especially on the long balls. And just, he seemed really dialed in. I felt like the game plan against the Dolphins was not to have him have to do that. And he didn't, right? Because, we run the kickoff back. We're winning. Okay, let's go to run mode, you know? And I just, like, second and ones, run the ball. Third and ones, run the ball. Like, we never put him in a position to do that towards the later in the game. I want to see the guy throw the ball. I think he's worked on it, and I think he might be really good at it now. And I didn't feel like we did that in week two.
And they might have a receiver too. Or a couple, actually.
Yeah.
It's not James Prochet right now. Bill Cole is here. Cole Roofing and Gordian Energy. He gets on roofs. He fixes things. He enjoys a conversation with us on a weekly basis. You can find them at coleroofing.com. Anything else that you got here fall related that's not football? I mean, baseball's kind of, you know, where it is, and there will be no postseason here. I think it's an interesting offseason for the Orioles. Look, I know TJ Brightman running the place. I'm not expecting some big winter caravan or splashes, but I do think they have, for the first time in a long time, an opportunity to actually do marketing. Like off-season marketing. Yes. And they're lousy at it. The old man was lousy at it. The old man was responsible. I don't know who, Mama, you know, Fredo, I don't know who's running the place over there at this point. But this is a 5-month period where, you know, I don't want to say the Ravens are chopping along, but the Ravens have trouble selling tickets. They're in front of me even though they took my tickets, they're trying to sell tickets all the time. The Ravens are still out there doing things. Interesting to me to see when this season ends next week, after all this promise, they didn't sell any tickets this summer. You know what I mean? It's not like right. They were great. People came running back to the ballpark. They came down there 5 times for bobbleheads and giveaways, boot foul stuff. Right. That's when people came to the games. They didn't come because the Orioles were in a pennant race on a Wednesday night and 33,000 showed up. That's not who they are. That's who they need to be at some point if it's going to be successful here. I'm watching the business side of the Orioles as they're asking the state for $600 million. So is the guy who banned me from the football team, Pisciotti, last week as well. I'm going to be keeping an eye on that because as these franchises go, we talk about fixing downtown and Baltimore Positive and all this. What's the baseball team doing in this offseason? Not just to put better players on the field. They've already established that they have some players. What are they doing to get Billy Cole to buy a 13-game Sunday plan and get his kids down there? Or maybe that's impossible, but what are they doing to stay top of mind between now and opening day?
I agree. I think you're right on. I think they've got, there's a, you know, a little bit of a festering fire here that they need to fan the flames. Large population of former Oriole fans that are now just bystanders. You know what I mean? Just don't
get us right here. Right. You and me, Dennis will be on a little later on. Let Raskin. I mean, there's no reason all my old white friends who own businesses in this city don't go to Oriole. I mean, there is a reason because they've witnessed what's happened to me and everybody else in the community the last 2 decades with this Greek that owned the team. Right. But we're getting to the halo of that to the point where, you know, I'd like to do something on a Tuesday night in spring, and I wouldn't mind having tickets. And my wife and I like baseball. We like baseball a lot. Can they do to bring us, that's not going? I know the people that are going, you know, Moeller's going down there. They never stopped going. The people that still went this year are the people that were completely waiting, watching 140 shitty games a year, waiting for this to happen. And they go back 5 times this summer.
They're the ones that tell you every year how much better they're going to be. And for about 3 months this year, they got to say, see, I told you they were going to be better. And it's, look, there are players there that no one knows. They don't know the names. They have almost a completely blank slate to be able to elevate those players and put them in.
If Adley Rutschman came to your office today,
no idea.
You have 50 people walking around Cole Roofing doing various things, all sorts of.
No, I don't think anybody.
Really? No one?
Maybe one or two, maybe. But I seriously doubt anybody would know who they are. Have any idea?
That's an amazing thing. That's a hell of a question. If Adley Rutschman walked into your business today, would you say that's Adley Rutschman? Or would you say maybe he's a ball player? Or would you just, that's a good looking young kid from Oregon?
Right. I have no idea. I mean,
I would recognize Adley Rutschman at the mall. I mean, I'm being honest. So. I was at Dowsettown picking up a new computer for Luke yesterday. I was at the Apple store. And if Adley Rutschman were in there, I don't know how many people in the store would look over and say, that's Adley Rutschman. I mean, that's really their opportunity. Their problem, isn't it? Isn't that really? They have rock stars that they haven't figured out how to make a rock star out of.
Correct. I don't know that it's necessarily a problem because those things historically took care of themselves. People were at the stadium. They saw the players play. They knew who they were. They saw them on ESPN.
They watched the news. Radio. They had a newspaper. Yeah. They had all of that. There were billboards. They marketed.
Yep.
They had media members they didn't ban out showing pictures of them and stuff, right?
I don't feel like it's a company policy to promote the players as much as it is to like promote the team. And I think that's a position change that occurred And I don't know whether they'll be willing to like change. I don't know if that's really their position, but it feels like it.
Well, it certainly happened when M&T Bank was giving out credit cards with Ray Rice's face on it. Right?
Right. Right.
Yeah. Well, I mean, that's one of the reasons you.
You're right.
That's you don't go into business with that, right?
That's great. I agree. And I'm not even at this point talking about, but you're probably right. That is a huge part, is all the other endorsement deals. That's how those people build their brands. I'm just looking for the team to promote them. Fan Fest and all that other stuff. Like, provide these opportunities for the public to intersect with these, you know, new Oriole players that are good players, to build a following, to build excitement about it. And I don't know if that'll happen or not.
Bill Cole is here. I know what's going to happen. He's going to get on roofs this week and make people happy and keep them dry and not pray for rain, but take advantage of it once it does. What's going on with Cole Roofing? Give me a little update on Gordon. And we talked solar last week, but just in general in the roofing, you know, I have a roofing job I need. I have, piece at my radio station that needs to get done. Regular materials for regular roofs. Can you get some of that done? Not a new roof, but just patching and stuff like that.
No, I mean, it's certainly better than it was. I think stuff is becoming better. We also have had a chance now to sort of get into the typical cycle. So if you know stuff takes a couple months to get, then you know you got to start planning a couple months before. And then once you get a couple months down the road, then everyone realizes, oh, I just have to plan for that a couple months ahead. So I think that there's some normalization in the cycles. There is stuff available. You know, you got to kind of still piece it together and try and figure out how to do it. Solar remains, you know, pretty exciting. Lots of people really want to look at it.
And you're glad you got into that industry, right? I mean, you haven't made a fortune doing it, but you feel like you're in the right space, right?
I 100% have a responsibility to our customers on the legacy roof side, that at some point solar on commercial rooftops is going to be like a very regular thing. So we've always positioned the company where if there's a reliable product in the marketplace, we need to be able to offer that to our customers. And that's how I looked at solar. Same thing with vegetated roofs. You know, we do those. And it's like, if these options are out there, we need to be able to advise our clients as to whether they're good for them. Maybe they're not the right fit, whatever. So that's the impetus to go.
Dude, I've known you 20 years. I've never heard you say vegetated roofs. I've literally never heard you say that.
Well, they used to call them green, and that was like, that didn't, you know.
Sounds like something AOC is trying to push through Congress when you call it green, right? Well, people don't like green. Green, that means good for the earth. Oh, God, I hate talking about
We're doing stormwater
management.
It's
like Mr. Yuck.
Right. We're doing stormwater management, right? We're taking impervious space and making it sort of pervious, although that's probably not true. But we capture rainwater so that it feeds into the stormwater system slower, you know, allowing in a lot of cases, the place for vegetated roofs is in urban environments where the infrastructure is old and, you know, doesn't work all that great. But we want to build this big building and it's going to, you know, we're going to send all the stormwater into the old pipes. Well, the city usually comes with a big price tag for that. Like, sure, you can do that, but you got to upgrade all this infrastructure. Well, by using vegetated roofs, they can show how much less water they're going to let into the system, allows them to maybe not fix the pipes as much as they, not have to build them as big as they needed them to. So it's kind of like a different way to spend that money.
Look at that. All right. See, education. It's what we do around here at Baltimore Positive.
And that's just the economic, argument. There's lots of other really good stuff that you use it for, but that's the economic.
Hey, man, I enjoy talking football and baseball and vegetative spaces with you. So Bill Cole is here. You can find him at Cole Roof. You can find me at the Maryland Crab Cake Tour. We're going to be at Cooper's this week. Next week, got a surprise. I'll get that out to you next week. It's all brought to you by the Maryland Lottery. I'll be giving away some Raven scratch-offs with Patrick Russell and some friends up at Cooper's North. Also going to be talking about some some cool things going on around town. I got some interesting guests this week, so it's going to be fun. I had a great time last week at Union Brewing, talking local oyster and drinking some beers with Adam Benish over there. You can check that out, as well as some politics with Matt Gallagher. I'm going to get some more politics in here as we get closer to election time around here. Barry Glassman's going to be joining us in the coming weeks, as well as Brooke Learman. And we did Westmore a couple weeks ago, and that Cox guy is such a freak, and he doesn't return phone calls. Neither did the Kelly Schultz lady. So I don't know what to say. I can only invite them on to lie to me. Chad Steele, you're invited on too. You can come on here and lie to my public too. I am Nestor. We are WNST, AM 1570, Towson, Baltimore. And we never stop talking. Baltimore, positive.